Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Justin. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Justin studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 201st episode, we have a special show with a great guest returning, Ed Marks, Chief Digital Officer, Tech Mahindra, Health and Life Sciences. Welcome back to the show, Ed.
Justin, thanks so much. I'm really, really excited to be the 201st. That makes it sound even more special.
You awesome. Got it, my friend. I wouldn't have it for anybody else. So first of all, how are you doing in all of this COVID and pandemic and everything happening out there?
No, really well. I'm very thankful. You know, my family, my extended family, both in India and in Germany and around the United States, everyone's healthy.
Good.
Everyone's doing well. So I'm really thankful for that because I know that's not the same story for everyone, but thankful for how we've been making it thus far.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, and we're in the same boat. We've been very fortunate, very blessed. Everybody's healthy. We're adhering to, you know, a lot of the social distancing. We're certainly staying at home or sheltering in place for the most part. We're pretty fortunate where we're spread out a little bit here in Atlanta. Even we're in the city, but still we're on some property and we're very cautious when we go to the store and we're taking every precaution. And also, we don't really have any friends that have contracted it either. I've actually reached out just to make sure everybody's, you know, staying safe. And so I think all the way around, we've been very fortunate and hopefully obviously the same for you.
Yeah, that's great.
So I get you and I, we've known each other for several years. You've been on the show several times. You're always one of the best guests. You always share the best practices and strategies. So certainly excited to have you back. But let's take a little step back just from any new guests that or any new listeners that might be joining us. But tell me a little bit about your background. Where'd you grow up, attend college, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I grew up in Germany. My parents are Holocaust survivors. So I grew up in Germany for the first 10 years. I was this little Bavarian boy. So if you ever see pictures of me from my youth, I look like I'm from the Sound of Music or something. We came over when, like I mentioned, when I was 10 to the United States, and we started a new life. And so that was in Colorado. So we ended up in Colorado. When I was 16, I had one of my first life-changing experiences, and I became a janitor at a healthcare facility. And I knew, even though I had a Sony Walkman on, you know, listening to Black Sabbath and maybe Rush and AC/DC, I just knew I was supposed to be in healthcare. I had no idea what that meant. You know, I'm 16 years old, but I just had this funny sensation like, wow, I love this and I want to be part of this. And so from there, I was really sort of focused on, hey, what can I do in healthcare? So I was the youngest of seven. We weren't a very well-to-do family at all in terms of material things and financials. But my parents always made it clear, you all are going to college. You're just going to have to pay your own way. So I knew I'm going to have to figure that out. Yep. Unfortunately, I didn't apply myself academically like some of my other brothers and sisters who all got scholarships. So I had to actually work hard my way through college. So I joined the Army Reserve. And of course, I chose to become a combat medic because, again, I wanted to stay in that healthcare theme. Things got better for me. I started, you know, I had some more life change experience in college, but that healthcare passion just stuck with me. And ultimately, after I graduated, I had a bachelor's in psychology only to salvage my grades because I was a 1.6 GPA my freshman year. I was like all messed up. That's another show, another story for another show. But I sort of got my life together and then went on, became an Army combat engineer officer, but still really wanted to do the healthcare thing. And so I went back to school. I got a master's in consumer science and some business related type of degrees and went back to the hospital. And I was like, I need a job at the hospital. I'll do anything. And I was overeducated, but underqualified. So finally, I got my first break as an anesthesia technologist. And again, I was just floored. I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to do this so bad. And at that time, I felt like it was not the right decision, but I was like 25, 26. I thought I was probably too old to go to medical school or anything like that. So I looked for other opportunities. So I got an opportunity working in physician relations. So it's kind of taking my business degrees and my marketing emphasis and really working in physician relations. And then there was an IT division, and the IT division had this great new product. Now realize this was a 1995, that is a great new product where with on a 2400 baud modem, you could dial in as a clinician into a medical record and look at patient information. But the IT people back then didn't communicate very well. So I had a pretty good communications vehicle and relationship with all the docs. So they said, Ed, can you help us? So I learned about this system. I learned about how that you can dial in. So anyways, we went from 5% adoption to 95% in less than a year. Wow. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, this technology stuff. Then ultimately what happened is the birth of our second child, which was our first daughter. And it was a very traumatic birth. And again, without going into a lot of detail, she was born without life. She was born floppy. And so we were like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? They revived her, but she had three life-threatening complications. And they're like, Mr. and Mrs. Marks, you have two choices. Send her life flighter to a children's hospital where you have the appropriate level NICU, or keep her here and take your chances, but at least you all be together, because my wife had some complications as well and she was hospitalized. And then it was then, oh my gosh, snap. We have this technology where people can dial in. What if we took that down to Denver Children's Hospital and they could dial into our systems and then do real-time analysis and talk with our NICU docs and have the best of both worlds? So that's what we did back in those days. So we had to send someone down. It was only a couple hour drive, send someone down, connect them. And oh my gosh, that's what happened. And my daughter was healed and graduated from college at age 18. And I was like, that's my call. That's it. Healthcare technology. That's where I belong. So as soon as that happened, I looked my first opportunity in healthcare technology, and that's sort of where I went. So that's sort of my beginnings, where I grew up, where I went to college, Colorado State University, the degrees, and my foray into healthcare, and why I'm so passionate today still about how technology can enable life.
Amen.
So anyways.
Yeah, no, I love it. And actually, I just saw for the first time that you, I didn't realize that you were in the Army. Obviously, that was a big thing in my past. I served for 8 years. I was an infantry soldier, 11 Bravo, Fort Benning. So, and then I saw you post on social media that you also served. So congratulations. You know, first of all, thank you for your service. I love it. And that's why you're such a great guy, because you served our country as well. So
thank you as well.
Yeah. A quick digression is, I just think it is really one of the best things that a young person can do, male or female, is to join the service or serve somebody other than yourself, at least for 1 year. I did it for a long time. It was a 6x2 tour, 6 years active, 2 years inactive. But it was a single best decision I ever made for myself, was joining the Army. So
yeah, me too. I mean, it really set the foundation. I was 17 years old. I graduated from college. High school. I partied that night. I remember I didn't even go to sleep. And also I'm at the MEP station, you know, the in-processing station. And I'm 17 years old, being yelled at, losing all my hair, not on purpose. I mean,
yeah,
not my choice.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, wow, I'm in a whole new world. I was scared to death, but I learned so much from the Army experience, and I'm so thankful for that experience. Yeah, and I do. I think it is an excellent foundation for everyone to be serving the military.
I love it. I agree. Excellent. So tell us what you're up to now. Be great.
Yeah, so I just consider myself like one of the luckiest guys in the world, just because I've had the opportunity to serve with amazing people and amazing organizations.
Yes.
And it really has, and I don't say this out of humility, it really has very little to do with me. There's just opportunities that opened up, and getting to serve with amazing people. And so it just sort of happened. So for a long time, as you know, I had the opportunity to serve in some pretty neat healthcare systems around the United States, you know, New York City Health and Hospitals, which I was just so thankful for that experience, and how they've come through has been amazing in dealing with COVID. And then most recently with Cleveland Clinic, and wow, it is an amazing organization, as people say it is. It's just fantastic people. And so I had, I think, I know you know this, but for our listeners, you know, I had this thing with cancer, I had a little fight with cancer last summer. And that really made my wife and I rethink priorities, and hey, is it worth traveling? Because we live in Dallas, Fort Worth. So it's like, is it worth traveling 5 nights a week, as great as the Cleveland Clinic is? And there are some other things going on as well. And it's like, you know what, let's do something that keeps me at home a little bit more. And so it just so happened this opportunity opened up with HCI Group, and now Tech Mahindra, and to lead as the chief digital officer globally, health life sciences. So So I just jumped at the opportunity for two reasons, three reasons. One is Tech Mahindra and ACI Group, just fantastic organizations. I wouldn't join any organization that didn't, you know, have really strong values and character. Number two is global. So while I love doing things in New York City or in Cleveland and regions, this is like global. And then the third is health and life sciences. So I have great, you know, experience working in provider side, but never in pharma, never in biotech and payer. So for me, it's a great learning growth opportunity as well. So I've been doing this for a couple months now, and it's just been fantastic as I expected it to be. And I get to stay home a lot more, especially with the pandemic certainly led to that as well. But it certainly isn't about five nights a week being gone from home. So it's been great for our family.
That's right. Congratulations. Love it. And obviously love to see the continued progress and everything that you do. It's just exciting to watch you your journeys. So to that end, I'd love to get some of your thought leadership. So what are you seeing in the industry today? Obviously, you know, I get the pandemic, but just from your the lens in which you see healthcare through, what are you seeing out there?
So there's definitely was this path towards digital transformation. That was the let's go pre-pandemic. That was definitely the buzzword. You talk to all the CEOs, and what people were saying out there is everything moving towards that, and everything moving towards within that digital framework, sort of virtual care. Mm-hmm. And so that was a path, but the slope was very gentle. Well, people can't see this on the radio, but a very gentle slope.
Right.
And we were considered the leaders, you know, the Cleveland Clinic, and, you know, there's a handful of others. But even then, we only had about 2% market penetration for like outpatient visits being virtual, with a towards 50%. We thought, man, once we reach 50%, that's like tipping point nirvana. And think about it, in 6 weeks, we advanced 6 years as an industry, and the clinic went from 2% to up to 80%, and everyone has that same story. Yep. So I've heard so many people on your show and other places talk about that hockey stick curve. Yep. And so there's two things happening now post-COVID. One is that continuation of virtual care and the digital transformation. And the second thing is, how do we take out costs? So when I speak to my peers around the world now, the conversation is really around two things. Ed, how do we take out costs? How do we leverage technology to remove the costs of healthcare and at the same time accelerate virtual care? And so you have to be bimodal, and you have to be able to do both. So those are the sort of the two major themes I'm seeing out there, and certainly where I'm spending a lot of my time.
Yep. I love it. As you know, I'm on the virtual care bandwagon from that standpoint as well. I mean, I bet we've all supported it for a decade plus, but to see this transformation over the last 6 weeks, A, it's exciting, but we also, B, in our hearts, we know it's the right thing for healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not waste at all. It's just gave us that impetus in the right direction, that right push that was needed, because this is the future. It's here now, and there's no turning back.
Love it. And for those joining us a little late today, my guest is Ed Marks, Chief Digital Officer for Tech Mahindra Health and Life Sciences. So, and also I think you may have seen or just published this morning was Tennessee Blue Cross Blue Shield, where they have now made telehealth reimbursement permanent. So it's not just a temporary for a pandemic, but now you're going to start to see all these dominoes fall with just telehealth being mainstay to care strategy.
Yeah, like many people have said already, to requote them, is the genie is out of the bottle. Yep. And there's no way to get the genie back in. We're here to stay in the new world, and it's going to require an adjustment. So it is great to see some of these rules being changed, some of the bureaucracy being broken. And, you know, I can't imagine ever going back. I'll just give you a quick example, a personal example. I've always been a virtual person and taking advantage of this for years and years and years. I can't imagine purposefully going to a physician office, unless there was very specific reasons you had to have touch.
Yep.
And so I'm getting, so you know, I try to be an athlete. And so that, as I get older, I get more injuries. So I had this knee injury, and fortunately it wasn't too serious, and they gave me a couple shots, and then they said, okay, now you got to do physical therapy. So I've been doing virtual physical therapy. So now our health system that I take advantage of, they were like, Ed, you can start coming in now. And I'm like, no way, are you kidding me? That's a half hour drive on either side.
Yeah.
And then all the, you know, waiting in the waiting room and all that kind of stuff. I don't have time for that. I do these virtual PT sessions that are half the time because, you know, you get straight to business. And there's no travel. It's like, why on earth? Well, I will never go back
right
to virtual. I mean, non-virtual. So yeah, it's here to stay. I think most people are having that same sort of experience.
They are. And that's the part. And that's why I love to talk about it, because there is no going back to the way it was. Oh, now we're all these in-person appointments. What's really cool also is now I'm seeing healthcare shift to where even some of the providers. So I try to seek out the providers in the industry that are forward thinking to work with, because they're like, all right, I don't want those routine visits back in my office. I can do those virtually, but now I can see those appointments that I can really increase care quality, or they really need to be in front of me, or it's a procedure based, or it's right for my practice. It's right for how I want to grow my business. Not that routine, level 2, level 3 visit where I want to see the right patient at the right time. And then I have a whole track now where I can see just the routine visits. I don't need to see you in person. And I have a whole setup for that too. That's exciting. And that's what I've seen shift in the last several weeks and months. So.
Yeah, cool. We're so blessed to be at this point in time and have this understanding and helping others to get there. So it's exciting.
So what do you see from, I guess, kind of jumping ahead a little bit, I do want to dive into a couple of things on best practices. So what best practices do you see or would you share with digital health innovators? I'll ask you about care providers next, but going next as the next step, what do you see for health innovators so they can thrive over the next 1 to 2 years? Where should they focus, or what should they do?
I think it's all about platforms. So not to give away secret sauce or anything, but I think there's a lot of comparison we can make to the maturity of EHRs 20 years ago and to where they are now, and the same with virtual care. So 20 years ago, you had a lot of best of breed, separate radiology, cardiology, lab, you name it. There was a niche system for it. And you also had some health systems that sort of were frustrated and they developed their own systems. And over time, the EHR vendors kind of caught up in their level of maturity and they said, hey, we can do lab systems, we can do radiology, and sort of made the platform play. And I think that, individual companies today that are doing virtual care should really think about the breadth and depth of their capabilities and really try to broaden their platforms so that they can capture more of that. Mm-hmm. And because it's really about the human experience. So that's a big difference than from the past. So not only has technology matured and we're headed to platforms, but it's got to be centered now around the experience. Because, you hear about clinician burnout because, EHRs weren't developed with the experience in mind. They were developed for other reasons. Yes. And so I think, so it's really to answer you in two ways. One is the platform play and the other is the experience. So you have to center everything you do around the human experience. So whether it be about the clinician or about the patient, really focus on those two things, platform and experience.
I love it. I love it. And I couldn't agree more. Having as much integrated on a single platform as possible, because providers, no matter one doctor practices to 1,000 doctors, they don't have the time or the bandwidth, or do they want to worry about integrating all these kabobbled products together? So that's about the full platform play, as far as you can take that platform. And then certainly about the experience, the patients care. Well, starting off with the care provider, but they've got to have workflows and usability and just have that functionality without slowing them down, about giving them the breadth and depth to the product and what they need to achieve, all based around their outcomes as well. But then also patient experience. Patients have got to be able to use the products and be able to interact seamlessly like they do with a bunch of their devices and apps in their life or applications in their world.
So. Yeah, I agree. And so we take the lessons learned from 20 years ago in the EHR evolution and apply it now. And let's not take 20 years to come to the same conclusion. Let's apply everything because we got the technology. And now let's focus on the experience and the outcomes, as you mentioned.
Excellent. So what would you say if you had a room full of providers, and you will, I think we have several thousand that listen every week to this show. So what when you're speaking to providers specifically, what best practices would you share with them so they can thrive? They've obviously, their world has been turned upside down over the last 90 days or so. But what would you say to them and for the coming months and years and what they can do to focus or be best prepared for the future?
Yeah, first of all, again, given the timing of our show and the pandemic, is thank you for all that you do. I've always been thankful and gracious to our providers just for the life-saving work that they do and the quality of life work. but especially now more than ever. And, you know, my wife's a nurse, and I just have nothing but deep respect for everyone in the profession and what they do. So that's first and foremost. The second thing was probably some of the same what we just talked about, and that is focus on the experience for the patients, and how do we make it as seamless and as frictionless as possible, because they're dealing with tough stuff. And again, I went through this cancer thing, stage 4 type of cancer. Thankfully, you know, because of great care, I'm fine today. I'm completely healed. Amen. And, you know, you have to think about that. What's that experience like? What's that journey like? And so as important as technology is, as important as care is, the care for the whole person is just as important as any other part of the treatment. And I was, again, thankful that I was in an organization where I was being treated that took that whole person persona in mind. And so it can never be forgotten. So how do we make it as seamless and as frictionless from everything, from every interaction with you as a provider, make it as easy and simple as possible? Because there's the, I call it the fog of war that you know, and I as a former infantry people, yes, and army people would know. And so it gets confusing. And what may seem simple to us as providers is not so simple. And then the other thing is, so again, the experience of the patient, but also of the family. So we have to look at the entire family experience, not just the patient experience.
Yes.
And so I think that's another sort of nuance today than from the past, is everyone is involved in the healing process. So treat everyone as if they're part of that, you know, overall ecosystem.
That's actually an excellent point. So I want to kind of call that out too, because that's also what's going to be enabled now more when you're using these platforms and virtual care and being able to provide care differently and not in person, is you are probably going to have more people from the family aspect involved. For example, I'm involved in my grandmother's care. She's 95 years old. So we've used technology. I'm in Atlanta. She's in Boston. And I try to help her how I can using technology. And that's very common. It's only going to become more common. Like, as if my mother needs anything as well in that process, I can be able to help her. And again, you don't need to be with this person in the same room. And now with the pandemic, I can't be in the same room technically with her because she also has a compromised immune system. So I need to manage those things, but I can do all of that with virtual care and technology, right, innovation that we have today even.
So. Yeah. So on a very practical level, and we're enabling some of this today, is telemedicine, which we spoke about. You can include the family,
yes,
in that telemedicine visit now. And like you said, you could be far, far away, cross country, cross ocean, and include everyone in what's going on. Because especially for the elderly, or again, the fog of war, the shock. You talk to me about, hey, Ed, you have cancer. I want my wife or someone else from my family to be engaged. And you can do that multiple ways, because I'm not going to hear anything after you tell me I have cancer.
Correct.
So, but my wife's going to be intently listening, or my partner, or whoever. So we have to include them all. Now we have the technology capabilities to do that. So we can get through the privacy concerns. You know, obviously, yes, we do already, and there's paperwork and things around that. So include everyone that the patient wants to have included. Don't keep them alone.
That is excellent, excellent advice. So we've got a couple minutes here in closing. I do want to ask you a couple of personal questions, and I certainly want to have you back. I think you and I are very well aligned on the virtual care topic. And there's some things about practicing, you know, I think I'd love to talk about what we see even, you know, a year down the road or even 6 months. So we'll get you back on a show to talk more about virtual care and where we're going. But let's get personal a little bit. So I got a minute and a half. So first of all, I want you to plug a book. You and your wife wrote a book, correct? Didn't you?
Yeah, it's not published yet, but we did.
Okay.
Yeah, write a book.
All right. Well, we'll have you on just to talk about the book. Maybe you both will come on and talk about the book.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
No, we're really excited about it. Do you want me to tell you what the name of it is?
Yes,
or
please.
Will it be provocative? Okay. Yeah. It's called Salacious Sex.
Yeah.
So, but it's really about, man, don't discount the value of sex in the marital relationship.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we've gone through and we've minimized it after you get married and stuff like that, and you don't think about it. But it's really about, hey, rekindling or keeping that romance, the hotness, you know, keeping that on fire, because it's really important. It's not to be diminished. So anyways, yeah, a little teaser for the future.
I think it's excellent, and you're spot on with that. Certainly, I've been married for 15 years, so I think it's excellent. So moving quickly here, because we got about 1 minute left, I want to talk about something. So in my closing segment, I always ask this question of my guests, and it actually has become its own show. My producers create their own show, but where do you invest your time, talent, and treasure?
Yeah, excellent. I put my stock in my family. So our faith is important. So I try to do, because time is so difficult, like, okay, you got 45 seconds left.
Yep.
So how do you maximize time? So one thing that we do is my wife and I are really into exercise. So part of our exercise routine is together. We'll walk together every day and pray at the same time. So we're getting our steps in,
yep,
and we're having a spiritual thing going on. And so I love investing my time and treasure in that. So anything family, our trips together, our time together, every time we're together, we like talk about, we end all of our time together in a family hug and prayer. So it just combines a lot of things. So a lot of stuff there. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but I mean, that's one way. I'm always thinking about how do you combine time and do all the things that are important to you spiritually and family. Okay, well, let's pray together and hug together and walk together.
I think that's fantastic, Ed. That's just great leadership on how to have how to foster a great family, a great family environment, and keeping your family strong. Mentally and physically, because you're walking together. So
Yeah. Try to wrap it all up together.
I love it, Ed. All right. Well, we're at time, my friend. I'm grateful for you. Thank you for joining the show, and I'll certainly have you back.
Thank you for what you do, and because I listen all the time, and I think it helps everyone. Iron sharpens iron. Thank you so much.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. And thank you for everyone joining us today. You can please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, you can catch me on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. And also, you can check out the new website that we launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week and stay safe.